Hey, Smutters.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens.
Ew, all you ghouls and boils.
Six more days till Halloween.
Not anymore. It's the 5th of November. Remember. So, how has your week been?
It hasn't been that bad.
It's been a pretty good week, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Before we started recording, I was like, I want to talk about this and this and this. And now, like, as soon as we get on the air, I have no idea what I was wanting to talk about. You know it?
Really?
Yes. I will talk about Heidi Klum's Halloween costume this year. Now, I always, every year for Halloween, you know, the celebrities do their cool ass costumes, and I always look forward to Heidi Klum.
I know it was crazy this year, but it was really good.
It was good, but I was not feeling it at all. Like, she did an amazing job, and it was so funny because her husband or partner or whatever, he got to dress up as a fisherman, and she was in, like, this huge worm costume. And it was really good. It wasn't for me. I was not feeling it at all. Because I love all her other costumes that she's done. And, you know, I think she was like, let's just make it super weird this year.
Right.
So, and she did. She did really good. But our Halloween this year, like, we were so excited about it, and we were, like, all going to go trick-or-treating, and
everybody went to sleep.
Well, the McRib came out that day. The McRib from McDonald's, and I went and, you know, Troy was like, the McRib's back, and it's the last time. So, I went to McDonald's and picked up 5 McRibs.
Not for me.
Not just for you. But, like, the lady is, like, handing me the food, and she goes, you really ordered 5 McRibs. And that's what I even said the same thing. I was like, they're not for me. And she was like, I know that, but 5? So
they went up in price, too.
Yeah, they have. They're crazy expensive.
Excuse me. I'm sorry, guys. I got a frog in my throat.
But, yeah, so we really need a redo on Halloween, but now I'm trying to get into the Christmas spirit. I've been trying so hard.
That's what she said.
I've been trying to watch some Christmas movies, and the best one I came up with was Bad Mom's Christmas, and that's the best one ever. I love that one, and it really didn't help. It just made me not want to have Christmas even more, I think, because they're like, it's so expensive, and all the cooking and wrapping and everything that moms has to do for Christmas. And I was like, oh, this just makes it worse. But I'm not into, like, the Hallmark Christmas movies. I cannot get into those.
Yeah, those are kind of cheesy, but
I do like the cartoon Christmas movies, though. Like, do you have a favorite cartoon Christmas movie?
I mean, of course it's going to go back to when I was a kid. Like, well, yeah. The Rudolph and the Frosty and all that.
Absolutely. One I was actually looking for, and I used to love this movie. It was the Care Bears Nutcracker Christmas. And, like, I have a huge obsession with the Nutcracker. Like, I love the ballet and everything. And I just, anything that has the Nutcracker in it, I will go crazy for. So I was looking for that. Come to find out, it's not on anything. Even, like, to buy on Amazon, it won't let you. It's like, you can watch the trailer, but we're not going to let you buy it. So, and I also like the Barbie Nutcracker too. That's a good one. Which, those are all, like, movies I got for Ashlyn when she was little. But, yeah, I was thinking today about, like, all the commercials when we were little that they used to have, like, the McDonald's commercials where you'd see a sneak peek of Santa and all that, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, just the stuff that I remember from being a kid.
Speaking of Christmas, what are you getting me this year?
I don't know.
Better be good.
Yeah. I have no idea.
If it's something about podcasting, I'm throwing it
out. You are getting your own microphone. Y'all, in case you don't know, we share a microphone.
She just does it because she likes being close to me.
We have to sit really close. But, yeah. So, anyway, tonight is that time of the month.
Ooh, wow.
We are doing our haunted ritual once a month. And this one is kind of different.
Is it close to your heart?
It's not very close to my heart because I'd never heard of it until I started looking for one. It is called The Man in the Fields, and it's very creepy because I think there's been like a lot of scary movies made around this, and it involves like scarecrows. Yeah.
Like Jeepers Creepers for 20 years?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have like the time frame, but like supposedly, and we'll go over this when I get into it, but like if you look at it, you can see it start to get off of its post, like crawl down from its post. And it's so creepy. Like, it made me think of Jeepers Creepers. I was like, Troy's going to love this. Troy loves Jeepers Creepers. So, let's...
Dive on in.
Because, as usual, we have an experience to go with this. And it's a pretty cool experience. Like, it actually worked. So... let's start off with the directions and all that good stuff, and then we'll jump into the good story. So, this ritual has been passed down throughout centuries and originates from the British Isles during the Middle Ages, where it was viewed as devil worship by Puritans and a way to protect your home by those who knew what was really standing in their fields was not the devil. If completed successfully, the ritual will ensure you 1 year of safety, physical and or mental, depending on the events during the ritual. You will need... now, not everybody may be able to do this, because you do need a house in the countryside. Preferably with a field of crops out back.
Me too.
Let's see. I'm going to sit up because I'm scared.
Excuse me.
Last time I was kind of leaning over. It didn't sound that great. So, let's see. As I said, a house in the country with a field of crops out back. Technically, all that's required is a large backyard, and the larger the better, but the success has only come from houses in the countryside. A candle, attempting to use a flashlight, cell phone, or any other electronic source of light will be unsuccessful, causing the light source to flicker and die after only a few seconds. Which is why either a candle, an oil lamp, or any sort of non-electric illumination is recommended. A crucifix, a watch, or a clock to carry around with you. Again, cell phones will not work during the ritual. Okay, so to begin, make sure it is late enough for no one around to be outside and make sure that the sun has set. The being the ritual is based around will not appear if anyone other than the summoner is around to detect its presence. The earliest successful summon was at 9 o'clock. Light your candle, go out into your yard, and whisper 7 times. But who will scare the crows away while facing the house? On the 7th whisper, you should hear behind you, "That's not your biggest problem." Walk back to the house without looking back, and as soon as you reach the house, get inside and close the door. Now the ritual begins. Everything in your house that can open has. Take your crucifix into a room with only one door, close the door, and leave it there. That's going to be your safe room in case the ritual goes wrong. Make sure all the doors, cupboards, cabinets, and whatever else that can open is closed in there. If he gets into your safe room, you are doomed. Your goal is to close everything that is open before your watch reaches midnight. This sounds easy in description, but think about it. Every bag, every door, every window, every container in your house has just opened. The challenge isn't closing them all, it's remembering them all. As you make your way through your darkened house, you will notice that out of the corner of your eye, you will be able to see a man. Dressed in simple farmer's clothes, out of the corner of your eye, his skin is ash gray. Don't look at him, and whatever you do, don't look directly into his eyes, but also don't be afraid of him. This is not the man in the field. He is merely a herald, a referee of sorts, to make sure that you're closing every container. He will be following you, but he's not going to get in your way. Make sure not to look out into your backyard. If you do, you will notice that there is a scarecrow that wasn't there. Its head is a cow's skull, and its limbs are impossibly long versions of a human being's arms and legs. While the skin on its arms and legs is pale, they are not skeletal. The only thing that it is missing is a head. If you fail the ritual or do not reach your safe room in time, he will take yours. The reason I was telling you not to look out the backyard is that you will notice the scarecrow, and he will also notice you. He will then begin to get off his post. Ooh. Ooh. This is the man in the fields. If you don't look at the backyard, don't see the post and the scarecrow, you will have until midnight to complete the ritual. If you are 100% sure that everything in your house that can open has closed, make your way to your bed and go to sleep. For exactly 1 year, you will have complete and total safety in everything you do, depending on when you started the ritual. If you started at 3 hours from midnight, you will only be completely physically safe. A lot of people have used this to elongate their lives past where they would normally end, people like cancer patients and the elderly. If you started 2 hours from midnight, you will not only be physically safe, but financially safe for a year. You could quit your job and still never have a need for money. Either you win the lottery or people just feel compelled to give you things for free. However, you will need to set up a plan for the end of the year, as your safety will wear off then and you will lose all your money you have won. Make sure to either set up a business or make some smart investments. If you started the ritual 1 hour from midnight and somehow managed to finish it, which is highly unlikely, you will be completely and totally safe for 1 year. None of your actions will ever have any negative consequences. I tell you not to do anything immoral, but if you're going to go through your entire house in 1 hour and somehow manage to close all the boxes, doors, windows, cupboards, bags, cabinets, and drawers, then you can do whatever the hell you want. If you did look out at the backyard and if you saw the man in the field, you'll not get any of this, not even if you finish the ritual. If you looked out at the backyard, the man in the field will get down off his scarecrow post and he will look at you and he will begin sprinting. You have a minute at most to get to your safe room. Run inside and lock it tight and double check to see if everything is closed inside. You do not want him getting in. You will have to endure him scratching and clawing at the door, shrieking threats and promises of mercy if you open the door. Whatever he says or does, do not open the door. There is no circumstance in which you should leave your safe room to confront the man in the fields. Good luck and stay safe. We trying it?
Hell no. I don't do these games. I told you, it's asking for trouble.
It truly is, because this person did the game. And it actually worked out okay for him. He did a really good job. But I don't think he waited for like an hour before midnight. So, or maybe he did. He did it in army time. And I'm so bad with army time.
It's military time for one.
Military all time.
You should subtract 12 from it.
I'm not good at math though.
You can't subtract basically 12 from 15.
No.
Okay, well, the ones cancel out, so basically you're subtracting the last number by the other last number. 5 minus 2. 3 o'clock.
You have it memorized, right?
I mean, for the most part, yeah.
Okay, so I'll just ask you what these times are. Yes. Let's see where I should start, because I don't want to go through all of this. Okay, so basically, this man that we're reading about likes to try out all the different rituals. So this time he was doing the man in the field, and he had an aunt and uncle that lived on a farm, and they were very organized. Mm-hmm. So he decided to go to their house and do the ritual. He kind of kicked them out for the night because you can't have a lot of people there, right? So his aunt and uncle agreed to go stay at a friend's house so he could, like, summon this crazy scarecrow. So that's exactly what he did. Which I wouldn't want to go to somebody else's house, because if everything opens, like all the little like jars and stuff like that, how do you know where that stuff is to close it all, you know?
Well, I don't know.
So that's what he was trying to do. So let's see
here.
We arrived there at 11:17, and we hopped out of the car and had lunch with my uncle and aunt. His friend's name is Daniel. Daniel was exhausted after driving for such a long time, so right after the meal, he sat on the sofa and almost immediately slept. And I kind of felt bad for that, because I would only perform the ritual hours later, but I wanted to save all the possible energies. After a conversation with the house owners and also a nap, everyone was ready by 1800, what is that? By 6 o'clock, or sometimes close to that. Even being an amazingly organized house, we still had the plan to remove a few items that could make the game way more hard for me. Of course, with everyone working, we cleared the house of any small closable objects by 7:30. We then locked them, just to be sure, in a shed nearby. Daniel, my uncle, and my aunt got in my uncle's truck and went to a friend's house a few miles away, which that's a really smart idea. So before he started it, they went in and got all the small things that can be open and took them to a nearby shed so that he wouldn't have to worry about it. So I really like that idea. Now, it was about 2000. What is that?
Seriously?
Yeah.
What's...
Just zero what time, is it?
What time did you say?
2000.
That's what, 8?
8? Okay.
I guess.
I was finally alone and with my body 90% ready. I was planning to start this by 2100. So, 9?
I guess so.
I'm sorry. I just don't know this. So, I just needed to use a few extra minutes to take a final tour in the house and close the stuff in my chosen safe room, which was the smallest room in the entire house, obviously. The house was big, but not absurdly. I was able to walk through it entirely in about 5 to 10 minutes, and after that, I had free time. So I repeated this action in a pace that wouldn't get me tired. So when my alarm rang on exactly 9:50, I stopped what I was doing and moved to the back door, and I kept looking at my clock until finally it reached 10 o'clock. I slowly walked away from the door. It was silent and dark as hell. I stopped walking. But who will scare the crows away? I shouted 7 times. At first, nothing happened. I thought I did fail, but after a solid minute, I heard the voice. Or to better say it, it felt like the voice. I don't know how to explain the sensation exactly, but I didn't hear a voice speaking to me. But I could still sense someone dreadly saying, "That's not your biggest problem," to me. So maybe he heard it in his mind or something. I don't know. Then I turned back and casually walked back to the house, trying my best to show no fear. I checked once again, my safe room, as the rules told, and everything was still closed and fine. I left my crucifix in there, grabbed my lantern, and started my closing journey. As I anticipated, everything in the house was open, from windows to DVD players, etc. I got creeped out really fast, honestly, but I was also confident. Everything hard to spot was already removed beforehand from room to room. I closed all the stuff I had to. Even though this game is only dangerous during the main part if you look outside, I was still feeling uneasy. I was still a little haunted by the way the man in the fields contacted me. And there also was a really dark energy following me, that's for sure. Also, a quick observation, I don't know if it was just me, but I think I found some of the objects we took outside inside of some of the rooms where they were before. And of course, they were open. Not all the objects, but one or two. Maybe I'm just crazy, who knows?
Yep.
It's 2211?
Yeah.
It was 11.
10.
Oh, okay.
24 is midnight.
Okay. So maybe I did that wrong. It was 10 o'clock when I got into the kitchen and one of the few places left for me to close stuff. If you ask me why this part is having a whole paragraph dedicated to it, I'll tell you. It's because I met him. Not my main enemy, the man in the fields, but more of a neutral guy who's likely to appear during the game. When I was closing the fridge with the corner of my eye, I could see an enormous figure. At least 6'5", I assure you. He kind of reminded me of Count Olaf from Nosferatu when I briefly saw him. I almost jumped, but the fear passed very quickly, like when a friend jump scares you. I think my brain processed almost immediately he was not a threat, so I was not really worried about him anymore. I just had to be sure I would not look directly at him. I finished my task in the kitchen and went to an alternate doorway just to be sure I wouldn't bump into him. So yeah, basically nothing too much happened after that. I finished closing everything by 2240, so 1040. I used a little bit of extra time to triple check everything and ran to my safe room by 11, exactly. I know I could have stayed for a bit longer, but I didn't want to risk accidentally looking outside or at the Nosferatu guy. When I entered the safe room, that uncertainty started to hit me. I was actually expecting that to happen to me because that's actually psychologically normal. Like, for example, when you finish a test, but when you get home, you start to think things like, did I really get that answer right? Basically, when I laid down to sleep, I started to think if by chance I let something very minor in the house open before entering the safe room. These thoughts had me awake for a while, but then I thought, you know what? Screw it. And I was finally able to shut my eyes and mouth and sleep. I would not be able to sleep through that.
Nope.
Okay. It was exactly 6:30 when I woke up. And I usually wake up with a really bad mood, but the day I was feeling really happy for some reason. Maybe because I wasn't dead. I think that's exactly why I was feeling so good. I opened the safe room door just to find the sunlight brightening the whole house. Everything looked okay and nice. And then, nah, no plot twist. I won the game for real. Even though after that night, every time I walk by the fields, I perform the chant and I get a few shivers. But nothing too serious. Daniel and everyone arrived around 7:15 and they were all quite surprised to find out I did survive the night. They were expecting him to get murdered. Even though they were trying to hide it, me and Daniel stayed for at least 2 more hours chatting with my uncle and aunt. And I told them my experience and they seemed really scared about the whole Nosferatu referee in the kitchen. More than they were about the main field's rival. They couldn't just stop looking to the kitchen. I felt bad for them, so before leaving, I made a prayer with them and lit an incense in the kitchen. They now looked a lot more secure. So that's it. That's my man in the field experience. Not that tense like my previous attempts in the supernatural, but still a chilling one. So, what do you think?
I don't know.
Well, the thing, I don't like the fact that the referee guy, I don't like that he was in the house and following him. Like, that would be so crazy. When he just appears, like, that's like a little spirit following you around. And I just do not like that.
Well, see, that's the thing. Don't play games.
Do not play those games. But yeah, I just, and you know, in the directions, that just creeps me out where they're like, oh, if you look outside, you can see him getting down off his post, you know? And there's so many movies that shows that, you know, them like killers hiding as scarecrows or whatever, and they get down off their post and you know shit's about to happen. Three movies?
Don't do that.
Okay, we have a Friday the 13th movie that does
it. He was never a scarecrow.
No, it was a Halloween movie. I'm sorry. It was a Halloween movie that did it. I always get those two confused. And then there was Jeepers Creepers, right?
I'm gonna punch you. You can't get those wrong.
Shut up. And then there's been more. I know there has. But
there's never been more.
There's so many more. But yes, that is the game. If you guys try it, let me know what happens. I would love to know what the referee looks like, because they didn't give a great description, and I know you can't totally look at him, but I'd like to hear a little bit about him. But also, I forgot to mention, I had a friend that went to the Winchester House this past week, and she, as soon as she got back, I had so many questions. One of my main questions was, and if y'all remember in the Winchester House episode, we were talking about the number 13, how it comes up a lot, and how she was very superstitious. Well, my friend that went took a picture of one of the windows, and it has 13 orbs in the windows, and it was a stained glass window, and it was very cool. Like, she was like, I had to show this to you, because I'm real big about that, because some people think that the whole number 13, they say that just to add mystery, I guess, to it. And I've always wondered if that was a real thing. And come to find out, it is a real thing, that there are a lot of number 13s in the house. And I thought it was very, I think I get more excited about it than most people, because, you know, I told my mom about it, and she was like, oh, that's not interesting at all. But I just think it's really cool finding stuff out like that that we've already done an episode on. It's still learning about it. But anyway, she brought me back some very nice presents, and I wasn't even expecting it. And I'm so excited to say I have something from the Winchester House.
That is cool.
It's very cool. And she even brought me back this postcard, and I already have it framed. It's so cool. And plus, I think that Mrs. Winchester is such a bad bitch anyway. Like, she's amazing. So I love the whole story to that. But I wanted to tell Missy thank you officially on the podcast for that, and for taking so many pictures.
She does love it. That's all she's talked about.
I do. And but she took a ton of pictures, and I've asked her a million questions. Like, every time I see her, I'm like, oh, I've thought of one more thing I wanted to ask about it. So Troy and I have decided that we have to go to the Winchester House for sure. And but she did tell me that she did have kind of an eerie feeling when she went in there. She didn't see anything, but she did have that weird feeling, and all the original wallpaper and stuff is still in the house. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So I got really excited, and I hope she had a blast, because I know I was waiting for her Facebook post to come in so I could see all her pictures. But she seemed to have a good time, and I am so happy she did. So thank you again, Missy. But I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need to cover. Can you think of anything else?
No, not offhand.
No? Okay. Well, as we said, the McRib is back, but only for a limited time. And sponsor us, McDonald's.
Thing, one thing, too.
What's that?
Let's not forget that there is a major holiday called Thanksgiving before Christmas.
I don't like Thanksgiving.
You may not like it, but it is a major holiday.
It's not, I don't like it. I really and truly, I asked you last year, and we have proof because it's recorded and everybody else heard it. I asked you if we could have nachos this year for Thanksgiving, and you gave me a solid maybe, which is kind of a yes.
It's kind of a no.
So why don't we at least compromise and do turkey nachos?
Oh, gross. Ooh.
Listen, any kind of nachos is good nachos.
Ooh.
I could eat nachos every day.
That's awful.
It's not. Not if you use, like, ground turkey. Mm-hmm.
Go away.
It's happening. Did you say go away? All right, you guys. I hope... Did you just touch my arm? Did you just hit my arm?
No. My phone is in this hand, and this arm won't
reach. I thought you went like that.
No, ma'am.
I felt it.
It might be that ghost.
That ghost. Also, oh my gosh, we were at the bookstore the other day. I'm sorry, I was about to close out. But when I had to go get Ashlyn, we always meet at Barnes & Noble. But anyway, I was looking around, and they had the Benicula books. And I don't know if anybody had to read that when they were kids, Benicula. But I love that book. It's about a rabbit that they think is a vampire because he sucks all the red out of, like, the vegetables and stuff. It's really cute and it's really good. Anyway, I kept looking it up on Amazon, and it was kind of expensive on Amazon. It's like $5 at Barnes & Noble. So if y'all like Baniculate as much as I do, go get your book at Barnes & Noble because it's not as expensive as you think. Sponsor us, Barnes & Noble. So... But yes, and did you tell me that they were going to do a Harry Potter reboot?
Yes, they are talking about it.
Just talking about it, or it's going to happen?
I don't know for sure. I mean, anything
can happen. I feel like it's too soon, though.
Yeah, but...
I mean, like you said, because Troy told me this other day, y'all, and I feel like we just saw the very last Harry Potter.
Well, that was over 10 years ago.
Yeah, the last one. So it's been such a long time.
Look at Hermione. She's gorgeous now and a very young, beautiful woman. And
yeah.
When she started, she was like, what, Ashlyn's age?
Yeah.
Even younger?
She was younger than that. So I know, but it's crazy. We always have Harry Potter marathons.
Plus we just watched Harry Potter tonight.
Did we? Oh my gosh. We watched the movie Weird about Weird Al Yankovic. And I was like, we were watching it the whole time, and Daniel Radcliffe plays Weird Al. And I've never been a Weird Al fan, but I wanted to watch it, you know. And all this stuff was going on about him and having a relationship with Madonna and all this stuff. And I started looking it up. None of that happened, y'all. Nothing in that movie happened. So I'm kind of obsessed with it now. Like, I love the fact.
You kind of figured that out when Madonna wanted to be the drug cartel leader.
Yeah, she wanted to be the Colombian drug lord. But I'm very obsessed with this movie now because I love the fact that it's supposed to be like a biography of Weird Al, and not one thing in there is true or ever happened. So
that's probably because he's weird.
I'm loving it, though. I think that is fantastic. And you know how many people probably look stuff up about him?
Yeah.
I did. I looked up so much stuff. So I'm pretty obsessed with it. It's a good movie. It's very... Daniel Radcliffe likes those weird parts, though, if you notice. Because what was that one movie he was in... Akimbo.
Yeah.
Guns Akimbo or something. Yeah. Y'all, if y'all have never seen that movie, watch that movie. It is amazing. It's got to be one of my favorites. And it's so, like, I don't think many people know about it either. But it's called Guns Akimbo. And it's so great. Like, they have surgery and his hands are guns. It's very comic bookish, but that's why I like it. It's so great. So go and watch that movie. But I guess that's it before we start rambling about other movies. You guys have a great week. I'm sorry it was kind of short this week, but that's how our haunted rituals go. Again, let us know if y'all have any ideas. Just DM us on Instagram at Supernatural Pet. Supernatural Smut Podcast. And we will definitely get those ideas in. I would love that. And we will see you guys next Sunday. Stay hydrated and make good choices.
Bye, guys.
Bye.